Let me tell you of the days of high adventure.
I'm Kevin.
And I am John.
And this is 6 Degrees of Schwarzenegger, the podcast where we take a long, hard look back at some of our favorite action movies from the era of Arnold.
Schwarzenegger is the icon of the genre, and we're taking a deep dive into some of these 80s and 90s cult action movies, and we're breaking them all the way down.
All the way down.
Up.
Oh my god, dude. It's been a long day and I'm a happy camper.
We had a Braves win.
The Braves have won.
They avoided a three-game sweep.
Or I three put game probably a gallon losing. Of beer into my system.
That's what you do on a Thursday, I guess.
On Thursday. Who are we? Weekday drinking.
Hey, you guys. Welcome to this, the final installment of 6 Degrees of Schwarzenegger's series on The Road Warrior from 1981.
Yes, yes. Welcome to all of our faithful 6 Degrees of Schwarzenegger listeners.
Especially you out in Australia.
All of our listeners who are checking us out through the last of the Action Heroes podcast network.
Yeah, welcome you guys. We're glad to have you on board with us.
Yeah, we're happy to be a part of it. We are discussing The Road Warrior, Mad Max 2.
Delicious.
1981 classic. I'll try to catch us up on the plot, which, God bless this movie, because it has got a pretty simple plot.
The plot's drives real
fast. Isn't it proof in the pudding is like if you do a thing well and you keep it fucking moving and it's intriguing, you don't need a complicated plot?
Yeah.
So basically in this world, we got Mad Max. He's been roaming the wasteland for years.
Mm-hmm.
He's linked up with a gyro captain and a group of people who have been refining oil out in the middle of nowhere. They've been under siege by Lord Humongous and his marauders. Max has gone out. He's brought them back a tanker
to haul a tank
of gasoline out of the desert. He's tried to escape and go on his own as a lone wolf. He was wrecked and crashed.
Yeah, his end of the bargain was fulfilled, so they gave him his gas, and he's like, I'm out of here.
He was quickly captured or wrecked by the bad guys. He'd managed to survive. He was collected by the gyro captain and brought back.
God bless him.
To the compound. Everyone there is gearing up to make their big run, and Max is saying, you know, hey, guys, why don't you let me drive that tanker? I'm the best chance you guys have got to get out of here anyway. So they've agreed to let him be their wheelman. And we're about to just come to a nonstop, adrenaline-fueled fucking thrill ride of a conclusion here.
And that's how it happened. I remember it.
Yeah.
All right. Are you guys ready for part 5?
I know I am.
Kevin, you ready for part 5? Turk, are you ready for part 5?
My faithful dog is here listening to all of this.
That's right. The dog that's still alive. Well, the action picks up with Max investigating the shells that Papagallo's just given him, like this like handkerchief, like a restaurant napkin full of shotgun shells. The feral kid's looking on. Everyone else starts loading up into their vehicles. The tanker, now heavily fortified and manned by Zeta, the mechanic and warrior woman, will be escorted by Papagallo, who's riding his like pimped out marauder vehicle that they souped up.
I love that car. Yeah,
it's badass. It looks like a CO2 cartridge car. Do you remember those? And did you ever do those in high school?
No.
They're like little wooden cars that you put a CO2 cartridge in the back and you hit the pin and the car like flies.
It was like a soapbox racer, basically.
Like 8 inches long little like wood car.
Oh, that's rad.
That's what this car looks like.
I think somewhere on the commentary or something, they refer to it as like the lobster trap car. And it does have the look of a lobster trap.
Yeah. Because so much of it's like punched metal.
Uh-huh.
So they put a cow catcher on the front of the thing and like a turret.
Humongous had shot through the radiator when they brought it in. So I think they wanted to armor the front of the vehicle.
Armor that bitch up. It's insane that something like that exists.
It's shades of things to come in Fury Road.
Right.
Where they had the cow catcher on the front. It's like an amazing, this armored tanker with turrets and everything. Yeah.
So we see Captain's girl running to load up on the school bus and giving like a loving smile to the captain who's getting his gyrocopter started.
She really does like him.
Yeah, he's stuck around. He did the honorable thing. And I think that he's
punching way above his weight as well. Good for him.
Yeah, it proved that that he's a good guy, that he did the honorable thing.
For sure.
So, meanwhile, outside, Humongous's marauders are waiting. There's a vanguard of cars and cycles like lined up ready to charge. Humongous is driving his hostage-adorned vehicle, and he now has Wes on a leash on the hood of the truck.
Is that fucking amazing? Yes. Or what? Wes,
you
what?
Puppy. You puppy.
He seems content to be on the leash as well. Like, he's not...
It's almost like he's been conditioned. He's like when you're on the leash, you have to behave. And when I let you off the leash, you can go fucking crazy.
I want to know the culture within Marauders like camp, because it does seem like he's content. Like the same. If I'm walking my dog, he's on the leash, he's pretty chill. But if mm-hmm. he's off the leash, then he feels like the need to be aggressive.
Absolutely.
Or something.
Absolutely. So we cut back inside the compound. Feral kid's caught trying to stow away on the tanker and is taken to the school bus. We cut back to Humongous, and he's loading that Nazi pistol.
Dude, the build-up, like the music.
Oh, it's awesome.
Everything is so great. Like, the build-up to a battle in a movie can be so fucking good, man. Like, it's probably never been done better than in Two Towers, the build-up to the Helm's Deep battle.
Shit.
But the build-up to some of the stuff in Braveheart, I think of as well, just like... The build-up, the intense build-up to, like, you know a battle is coming can be so fucking
it's
great
to
watch.
It's about to come to a head. So as the tanker pulls out, Feral Kid gets loose and climbs aboard.
You can't contain the Feral Kid.
No, man. You can't stop him. The tanker bursts out of the compound, knocking wreckage out of the way. Humongous opens fire, but the cowcatcher successfully stops bullets.
Uh-huh.
The captain flies out in front, dropping firebombs. I wish it had been snakes, but firebombs is good, too, on the bad guys to clear a path. Love that he so quickly become a team player.
Yes.
The tanker plows through the Marauder camp. Bad guys jumping out of the way. Cars are flying out of the way. Humongous takes a shot at the gyrocopter, and from the sound and the captain's reaction...
I thought he got hit.
It seems to have done some damage.
He sort of freaked out, if nothing
He's
else.
Like, oh,
I
shit.
Couldn't tell if he hit him or not, but yeah, he sort of like went flying out of control away.
As the tanker drives off with the marauders in pursuit, some stragglers see the rest of the refiner crew leaving in a different direction. And so some punks and smegma crazies are like heading back to the refinery.
But they seem completely indifferent to those others leaving. But
yeah.
I mean, it's like they said, they're going to be so locked in, I guess, on the tanker.
Yeah. And I'm also wondering if that was part of the plan. It's like, if they run, you guys go, like some of you need to
compound.
Go back in and get the compound.
The refinery itself should be the real prize. Fuck the tanker. If there's 100 tankers worth of oil in the ground, like at the refinery, like that should be the thing. Although, I don't know, if they don't know how to actually refine the oil into gas, maybe it's useless to them to have the refinery. They just need the gas.
Right.
But I just found myself thinking like, God, yes, no, take the refinery. Like, fuck the tanker.
Yeah, agreed. So they get in and start to like celebrate. And and then, of course, the entire place goes sky high. It just blows.
That was like as big of an explosion as you'll ever see in a film.
It was huge. It was amazing.
There's no model shot here. Like, that was the real deal.
It was such a good effect. So on the highway, Humongous's entire army is chasing the tanker and its escorts, and the shots of the tanker being pursued by the marauders are just all insanely cool.
The music is fucking killing it at this point.
Meanwhile, out on the highway, Humongous lets Wes off the leash.
Papa Gallo had veered off the road, and a bunch of other people went off following him.
Yeah.
And I don't know why they'd bother a side pursuit of Papa Gallo. Like,
just
fuck him, let him go.
Just
if he wants to
draw some off.
I guess so.
I agree with
you. It doesn't make the most sense.
It doesn't make any sense.
But whatever.
Wes goes full on Wolverine berserker, jumping on the hood of another car. His fucking psycho scream, the stunts, just like. This whole little like section of the chase is insane.
We're Big Wes and Vernon Wells fans on this podcast because he is going for it.
Yeah, he goes for it in a way that I wish that I could do anything in my life. Zeta and the mechanics start to throw firebombs from the back of the tanker. They hit one car, which goes up in flames and crashes.
Dude, all of the stunts in this final sequence are fucking amazing.
But then we see like the bad guys starting to surround the tanker. Uh-huh. Wes's car pulls up and Wes slings a grappling hook, which we love. Yes.
If fans of the podcast know, nothing gets my adrenaline pumping like when a fucking grappling hook comes into play. That's so fucking great.
He throws it through the window and rips a door off.
Yep.
The stunts. Another bad guy approaching from the rear tosses another grappling hook. We get double hooked into the nest mounted on the back, and it like hooks Zeta in the leg.
That shit makes me cringe, man.
The thing that's terrible is like the bad guy vehicle, because of the tension of that, of the hook through Zeta's leg, it flips that car and then drags the car. Like,
can you imagine the pressure? That's got to be crushing
it.
It
would have destroyed. His leg is destroyed. So, but finally, the weight of it does rip the nest and Zeta off the back of the tanker. So, adios, Zeta. We hardly knew thee. The mechanic goes to throw another firebomb, but he gets shot with an arrow. And the firebomb like catches him on fire.
I feel like we shouldn't laugh at this, but I also feel like it's meant to be a little funny.
Yeah.
A paraplegic burning.
Right. Which, I mean, it still would be causing damage to tissue.
Oh, no doubt.
Whether he feels it or not. But it's like, but he's like, oh, fuck's sake.
And he plays it kind of campy, like the look on his face.
Yeah. He's like, oh, shit.
Oh, shit. And his hands are on fire, too. Because he's trying to like. Yeah,
I think it's supposed to be because he's like, well, fuck. The warrior woman who we haven't seen up until this moment in the chase moves up to try to like help him with a crossbow in each hand.
She's a badass.
She's awesome. Bearclaw Mohawk jumps from a vehicle onto the tanker. Warrior woman shoots him with an arrow and he's like dangling from the side by his claw hand.
Bearclaw Mohawk is such like a deep cut villain. But I love the deep cut villains like Dutch and Karate Kid.
If we do Dragon Con, if Dragon Con happens, one of us should be Bearclaw Mohawk.
And one is Wes?
Yeah.
One is Humongous? You can be Humongous.
No one wants to see like skinny fat Humongous. Like
this character is fucking, he's so damn cool to me. Like the ones who you just see in the background who don't talk much, like Boba Fett, I feel like in the originals, like before they tried to make him his own, you know, brand name.
Yeah.
It's just like, he's just a cool ass looking guy that doesn't say much and you want to know more about him.
Yeah. The lieutenants that are just there, they do their job. They fuck shit up. They're badass.
I'm a big fan of those characters in general.
Agreed. The mechanic tries to assure Warrior Woman that he's good with his flaming. He's like, I'm fine. Wes shoots her with several arrows
in the gut.
She falls and is caught in like the barbed wire that's strung on the side of the tanker, but she's still alive. She's like bloodied and like semi-conscious, but alive.
As Wes was taking aim to take that shot, he basically like, his face was like orgasmic.
Yeah.
It was like an O face.
It's Vernon Wells, your talent.
The body count is piling up quickly.
Oh, yeah.
Right? Like, I feel like this happens in these movies where you're like, wow, I was not expecting like a... They're losing all their guys in the first 2 minutes of this chase. Also, I noticed in this scene particularly, like her hair was crimped.
A big, big time crimped. Yeah, it's been crimped the whole movie, but like you can see like the sunlight is like glinting off the crimps.
I think that shit's ready to make a comeback.
I feel like it sort of did in the like right after the aughts, like in the 2010s.
Okay,
the 2010s.
It was back for a minute.
Well, they were, like girls started to do these feathers in their hair. And so I think that was this... that generation's like crimped hair was like stringing these, basically threading these feathers in your hair.
Yeah.
And that went out of style very quickly.
Just as quick as it came, it was gone.
Exactly. But crimping could very well make a comeback.
I'd be into it. I mean, but maybe it's just her. Like she makes it look good.
She fucking rocks it. Yeah. So over on the other side of the tanker, Wes helps get Bearclaw Mohawk up and moving again somehow. And meanwhile, Mechanic has finally managed to like put out his body fire. Mm-hmm. And just then, Max runs Wes's vehicle off the road.
Dude, I watched that shit on slow motion, like frame by frame. I am 90% sure that was Vernon Wells was on that car that got sort of spun out in the dirt. I'm like, that is fucking dangerous.
Yeah.
It was open roofed. Like it could have rolled easily. That could have gone bad in so many ways. And kudos to them for being fucking fearless.
Yeah. They were up top on the tanker. The mechanic is trying to pull Warrior Woman to safety when another bad guy, Hot Rod, like comes up.
Yeah.
And they like grab her and pull her down.
They're basically playing tug of war with her body.
Oh, it sucks. And when they pull her down, he comes off. That shit is rough. Feral Kid is in shock.
That made me react like when that happened, like when they pulled off and went under the wheels, it's like, whoa, like, holy fucking shit, that just happened.
It's like now it's like, oh, okay, so now it's just Max and Feral Kid.
Basically,
the entire Marauder army.
And Papagallo is off doing God knows what.
Just driving like 200 yards off to the right. So as the car gains ground, Max leans out of this doorless cabin of the truck now, shoots the driver of the Hot Rod. Feral Kid's laugh
that
is awesome.
That was amazing.
Yeah, badass. The Hot Rod crashes into a dune buggy. So many like car crashes. Shit's awesome.
This is maybe the most spectacular stunt in the movie.
Yes. So a punk crashes into the dune buggy wreckage, and that motorcycle stunt is insane.
That is a real dude. Like, it looks like a dummy because your body shouldn't be just pinwheeling like that. But the reason I think why it looks fake is because that didn't go according to plan. Like, he shattered his femur.
Oh, my God.
He wasn't supposed to, like, catch his feet on the roof of the car. He was supposed to, like, do something else. And he sort of just went into, like, limp mode once he was fucked up.
Oh my God.
That's Guy Norris is the dude's name. It's fucking
shout
great.
Out to Guy Norris.
It's a great name. He's like a legend in the stunt world, but he doubled in this movie alone. He doubled for Mel Gibson on all the Mel Gibson's driving stunts.
Wow.
He played Bear Claw Mohawk.
Oh shit.
Was the dude. Also, he said anytime that you saw someone jump from a vehicle onto the tanker, that was him. Like regardless of he'd change costumes and do it again.
Wow.
And change costumes and do it again. Whatever. But, he was 21 when they made this movie.
What?
He had basically been like part of a touring troupe of like stunts that would travel around Australia doing whatever stunt shows, basically like the
jumping
Wheel of Death
things.
Or driving through. It was like that Evel Knievel era.
Yeah. I know exactly what you're talking about.
A quote from him that I read recently said he's like, in those days, we thought we could eat 4-inch nails for breakfast and wipe our asses with sandpaper. He said, you know, but he was went on to be an amazing, like, famous stunt coordinator. He did stunts up through Fury Road. Like the very last stunt, driving stunt he said he was ever going to do was he crashed one of the tankers in Fury Road. It's like amazing bookends to a career because this was his very first movie.
That's
the last one's
what a
Fury
great
Road.
Story.
He's got like two sons that are on his stunt team or whatever. Now I feel like stuntman is like one of those true family professions.
Oh, yeah.
Like the flying Walendas or whatever, like the dudes who are like tightrope walking, you know, type
it is,
shit.
It's like carnies.
It's
but
like
no,
an artisan
not,
sort
not
of.
Not diminutive. I don't mean
like,
that pejoratively.
It's like a craftsman sort of artisan. Like, I can teach you this craft.
They're performers and, like, I think it's more helpful to think about it as being like a craft than it is like performance. But it is performance too because you got to sell it.
Yeah. Did we ever talk about Death Proof? Like it was part of the Grindhouse double feature.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
Before there was, well, it was Kurt Russell who's fucking amazing. He was playing a character in Death Proof called Stuntman Mike.
Mm-hmm.
And he said, like, he's like, you know, I got into the business the way most people get into the business. And like, how's that? My brother got me into it.
Right.
It's just like, I feel like it is though, like that sort of family profession.
Yeah. It's like, what do you do? Well, I'm a stuntman.
How'd you get into that? Oh, my brother.
Yeah.
He got me into
my
it.
My dad
yeah.
was a stuntman too.
Anyway, the chase continues.
Yeah, that's right. So, like, stunt after amazing stunt all through here. The high rod gets stuck in front of the tanker, then slung around it, and then destroyed.
It's this shit is amazing that's happening.
Yeah.
You can't plan these things. I think they're just like, we're just going to crash these two things and see how it goes.
Yeah, and to see which shot we want to use.
For sure.
So, more bad guys close in from behind. One shoots out one of the, like, another of the tanker tires. Double bad guys jump onto the tanker.
Both of them were apparently Guy Norris.
Yeah, that's so sick. a biker trying to do God knows what gets pulled under the tanker's wheels.
I think that
he had like a Wes like wrist crossbow.
Was he trying to get close?
He just got too close and it grabbed his hand.
That's brutal. He got sucked under, man.
I do think that's what he was trying to do, was shoot out
to
a tire.
To puncture another tire? Yeah.
And okay. Maybe the vehicle just like went in. He zigged when he should have zagged. So from the air, the captain sees Papagallo leading his side pursuit off-road.
The inexplicable secondary chase.
Yeah. Would just like to shout out Brian May's work during the whole movie, but especially for how hard this whole sequence has fucked. Like, the heart-pounding tension being built in the orchestra during this whole chase scene is like, it's unreal. It's otherworldly. Yeah. It's so good.
Was it a full orchestra?
Yeah.
God, it's amazing that they got a full orchestra for a movie small like this, though.
Well, I mean, I would like to see the orchestration. It's probably like a studio orchestra.
There was a string section. There were horns drums.
There was a full battery of everything like happening. So back in the main pursuit, Wes's vehicle is like quickly catching back up with the tanker somehow. They recovered.
They're hauling ass. Yeah. That, like, dude, it was like this fucking rad chopped like Ford Bronco or something.
As Max reloads his shotgun, there are now several bad guys on the tanker, including Wes, who's just been helped on. Feral kids like scrambling around to the open door by way of a straight pipe exhaust. Max like flings them inside. Is that shit not hot to be like touching it, like squirreling around on the side of it?
It should be. I love the moment. Like, it's a great moment with no dialogue.
Yeah,
where
like
he
Max
just
like
sees the kid there and he flings him into the passenger seat.
But that's awesome, too. So a guy on the roof of the cabin shoots an arrow through, but misses, thank God.
Yes.
Max then shoots a Mohawker who appears at the passenger window and then shoots the guy on the roof.
Blowing dude's faces off with this double-barreled.
And then as he tries to reload, Bearclaw Mohawk, who's apparently 21 years old.
Yes. Breaks, and it was half the stuntmen in the movie, apparently, like half the stunts.
Breaks through the back windshield and sinks that claw into Max's shoulder.
Yes.
Like a cry of pain. It's like wedged in there. Shotgun shells spill strategically out onto the hood of the tanker.
Mm-hmm.
Meanwhile, like Wes is like out on the roof. Swinging a Morningstar, like
it's fucking insane. I don't even, it's almost like it's made out of an engine part or something.
Yeah,
it's
looks like part of a motor, but it's like all I could think of is Jack Burton. Where'd you get that?
I'm thinking. Well, I it was mounted on the truck that he was riding on, which is awesome that they put the fucking thought, the foresight into at least having it exist before. But Wes doesn't give a single fuck about anything except killing Max,
right?
Like, he's just up there. He's standing on top of the cabin of a big rig.
Yeah.
It's going 80 miles an hour, just like swinging this thing.
Yeah. Max slams on the brakes and Wes flies off the roof and appears to fly off the front of the truck, a la like Raiders.
Yeah.
Like off the front of the truck. Humongous's like trailing vehicle with the hostages mounted on the front, like slams into the back of the tanker because Max slammed the brakes on and like just. Their bodies are mangled, crushed.
There's blood splatter on the
thing. Is fucking gruesome.
That was fucking, you're like, God damn, did I just see that?
What struck me watching this, again, was like someone had to think about that and then suggest it in a meeting. You know what would be awesome? Is if when Max slams the brakes on, Humongous like plows into the back and the bodies just explode.
Yeah,
and
just so, like,
and people are like, yes, that's awesome.
We got to do that. Yeah. We're definitely going to do that.
It was accepted. Anyway, back in the truck, Feral Kid begins like seizing his destiny and attacks maybe his father, Bearclaw Mohawk.
Apparently, I think what I read was that Bearclaw Mohawk was supposed to have this like more epic end, but after the broken leg doing that stunt, like, they had to sort of just, they carted him back onto the set with his leg in a massive cast or whatever. And they had to just shoot him basically close ups, you know, struggling
from
with Max,
behind,
struggling with Feral Kid, and doing creative framing to hide his leg.
So just at that moment, Papagallo pulls up alongside the tanker and exchanges, like, there's this weird glance with Max. He gestures like,
I don't know what that is.
What
is
the
it
hell,
something
man?
To do with
you
the
gonna
kid?
Let this little mishap set you back? I couldn't like, or like, are you good? Or like, what's going on? How are you? I don't even know what it was supposed to mean.
It was a strange glance.
It's very vague. Papagallo then like, he's like yelling at Feral Kid to jump onto the car. He also says, come on, we've won, which is very strange.
Who said that? Papagallo?
Papagallo says, come on, we've
lured them far enough away.
That's what I took
it to mean. To let the rest get away?
Yeah.
I mean, if you're paying close attention in this shot, you get a little spoiler for the end because you see that there's like dirt pouring out of the hose
right
underneath the tanker. But
I thought the line, we've won. I was like,
who's he talking to, Max?
To Feral Kid.
He's telling Feral Kid to hop on my car.
Yeah, he's like, jump over here. We've won. We can get out of here now.
Weird.
Well, fuck Matt. Bye, Max.
Bye, Max. Yeah. Good luck with the Marauders.
So just then we see Humongous pull up behind Papagallo and throw a fucking trident into his back.
Like a trident. I killed a guy with a trident.
Yeah, Brick. I've been meaning to tell you. You might be wanted for murder.
That shit was... You don't see tridents in movies often.
I get these like three Spartacus. Movies. Yeah, exactly. Spartacus, this Weatherman, and maybe in Gladiator. I can't remember off the top of my head. Anchorman, that's right. Yeah. So Papagallo's car like veers up. Poor Feral Kid is stunned by this, by the way, to see the spear in Papagallo's back.
Traumatizing.
Yeah. So Papagallo's car like veers off the road in a cloud of dust. It's sort of like an eerie shot. It makes me think of like in the Titanic, if you saw like a dead body just like in the water and it just off it goes or something. It's very, very eerie. So adios, Papagallo. Another barrage of arrows puncture more of the tanker tires. And there's a great shot. This is like a phenomenal shot of all the Marauders now in like single-minded pursuit with the captain flying just overhead.
Yeah,
that shot is insane to me. It is so fun. I would love to have that framed on a wall.
You know, a thing that I heard, I don't know if I read it somewhere or if a friend said it, but about Fury Road was it like any random paused screen in that movie, like looks like a fucking poster for the movie. Like every frame is so inspired.
Yeah.
And this movie is not far off.
Like,
you get these just amazing shots that are just ran like sprinkled throughout the movie that you're like, Jesus Christ, that looks like a fucking work of art.
Yep. Agreed. 100% agreed. So as Humongous prepares to throw another trident,
he's got tridents for days.
Like he's got tridents like the captain's got snakes. Captain drops a firebomb onto Humongous's vehicle. However, the gyrocopter is hit with a volley of arrows and crashes roughly. Yeah, he does.
That
like,
looked pretty severe. Like, that looked fatal.
Yeah, not sure how that thing is reinforced, but it seems like it might result in at least some broken legs or something.
For sure. He crashed at high speed, like that Benny Hill speed.
Yeah. Humongous pulls over because his car is on fire.
Yeah, he's got to put the fire out. Why was Humongous was like wearing furs at this point in the film?
Because winter,
When he's hauling ass, maybe he wears furs.
Yeah. Max continues to fend off approaching vehicles. He whips the truck around. This was crazy. He whips the truck around and drives back in the direction he's been coming from. So this was like a la Fury Road.
Not far off.
Yeah. So he like sends a bad guy flying in the process. Also, some amazing shots of trucks turning back into the sun.
The sun, dude. I said those shots at the sunset or sunrise or whatever it was were incredible. It like is, George Miller has got the eye, man.
Yeah, it's phenomenal.
We'll ignore the fact that like immediately after this, it doesn't seem to be sunset anymore.
It's like middle of the day.
But anyway,
in the cab, Feral Kid retrieves Max's shotgun. Max is like telling him to get the bullets from the hood of the tanker and like helps him with difficulty through the busted windshield.
It's kind of extreme, but it's like an extreme situation, I guess. Yeah. You're like, go on, kid. Yeah, climb out there on the hood of this car and grab me a shell.
Max would do it, I guess, but he's still like pinned down.
Yeah, Bear's Claw Mohawk's like latched into him.
The claw is still like, he's got however many pounds of man like hooked into his shoulder.
Oh, yeah, he's not going anywhere.
So back a piece, the Humongous has finally gotten the fire on his vehicle out and resumes pursuit, now driving head on at the tanker.
Mm-hmm.
He hits the nitrous, fucking psycho, goes turbo. Time seems to slow. I love the sound effect, just the heartbeat, barely perceptible as Feral Kid, like out on the hood of the speeding tanker, is almost able to reach the shells. And at that exact moment, Wes pops up, presumably hanging like Raiders style, like
grill.
We mentioned, like from the cow catcher, and grabs the kid's hand.
I mean, I feel like we have to have known, like we hadn't seen the last of Wes.
Totally.
But it's still a great moment.
Wes and Feral Kid scream bloody fucking murder, like in unison, like, ah! Max pulls against the claw, pinning him down, joins in the screaming as he tries to pull the kid back into the cab.
Uh-huh.
I feel like Wes is maybe trying to get a shot at Max with the wrist-mounted crossbow. As they crest a hill, Max and the kid see Humongous coming right in the damn middle of the road, speeding fast as the car will go. Max pulls Feral Kid in the cab. Wes looks back in horror, reaches out in futility, and screams one final scream. And Humongous's vehicle absolutely disintegrates.
It was a goddamn car crash. Like, it went into 1,000 pieces.
It was like a Lego car just exploded.
It was amazing.
The tanker runs off the road, rolls over. We see shots of Max, like, trying to protect the kid as the thing's rolling.
It's another spectacular crash.
Yeah.
Dude, I don't know if you saw this, but they told the stuntman who was going to be driving the tanker for that, like, they didn't let him eat for 12 hours before he did the stunt.
So he wouldn't puke?
Assuming that he would be ready for surgery.
Oh, fuck. Like,
if the crash went bad, that is fucking ominous, dude.
That's heavy metal. And they're like, that is so heavy metal.
Don't eat for 12 hours because we got a surgeon standing by. Like,
that's metal.
We're going to assume you're going to need it.
As metal as it gets. So the remnants of the Marauders stop and survey the wreckage from a distance, and they're like, no, we're good.
Well, we're good. We see that, like, the hatches have burst on the tanker, and dirt or sand or whatever is pouring out, but the bad guys up on the hill couldn't see that.
That's what I'm saying. Is like, but I also think that they're like, Humongous is dead. We don't know what we're gonna do. So
I do. I wonder, like, what's the structure here? Like, is it like, oh shit, Humongous is dead? Like,
well,
we just
know
go our own ways
Humongous
now.
Humongous is dead. Wes is dead. Toadie's dead. Golden Youth is dead. Bearclaw Marauder's dead. So whoever is, I don't know, Secretary of the Treasury is up next. So
it's like, what becomes of the Mohawkers? What becomes
maybe they splinter and become their own groups again?
What becomes of the Smegma Crazies and the Gay Boy Berserkers?
Humongous was the glue holding
all things together.
So we cut back to the truck. Yeah, like you said, the hatches on the tanker have busted, revealing that it's full of dirt. Sons of bitches, Papa Gallo.
Uh-huh.
The last of the bad guys turn around and ride off. They seem sad. Of course, there were very fine people on both sides that day.
Shit. I mean, they could not possibly, from a distance like that, have known that the tanker wasn't full of fuel. Although, except that it ought to have blown up.
Right. Yeah, should have.
Right?
Yeah. So somehow Max and the kid have both survived this crash.
Somehow.
Max was barely hanging on to begin with. Max has got massive internal bleeding, a concussion, two fucked legs. I feel bad for the kid. He's just trying to protect his hero.
Yes.
So as he steps out of the wreckage, Max also sees that the tanker's filled with dirt. That's an iconic shot, like his hand underneath the thing.
It's an amazing movie moment, but why would the refiners have bothered to fill the tanker with anything?
Maybe for ballast, because otherwise the thing would have been slung all over the place.
Maybe. Let's chalk it up to that.
I don't think that they could drive at those speeds without losing control unless it had ballast.
You think an empty tank is harder to drive?
Yes. Especially at speed, I would assume that it is.
Yeah.
Because I've heard a lot of people talk about with, like, empty trailers. Towing an empty trailer on a busy highway is super, super difficult.
Okay.
That's what I've been told.
I'm into that.
By people who know better than I do.
In the end, Max, I guess, should feel lucky. Because if it had been full of fuel, he would have exploded and burned.
So just then, somehow also, the captain rolls up on the gyrocopter, which is now a tricycle, I guess.
Yes, it no longer is capable of flight.
I love that he spoke at a Stogie Schwarzenegger style.
He totally was, dude. They exchange a huge grin. Like,
they're both smiling and chuckling at each other.
It's like, I guess we've lost everything, but we're alive. It seems to be the sentiment,
Kevin.
Like, fucking, we made it.
I do love, like, the moment between the two of them is awesome.
They bonded.
Yeah, they did. Screen goes black. Cut to the Feral Kid. We see the Feral Kid in the back of the school bus as the caravan heads north to safety to their place in the sun. It's like driving away and getting smaller in the distance. We hear the narrator voice come back saying that the captain became the new leader of the group and that they traveled far beyond the reach of men on machines.
That made me wonder, like, is the premise that the wasteland is so big that no one can drive across it, but we have enough fuel to drive across it, and no one can get to where we're going.
I think that is the conceit, is that the middle of the country has been overrun, and that maybe on the coasts there's still some semblance of normalcy.
Okay.
Is what I think is the deal. Like, the further out you get, that's where more people and order, like, the governments would have been out there. The governments probably would have ceded the middle of the country, been like, we can't control this.
Yeah.
We can control all this.
Sure.
So, in a deft move of trickery, we learned that they'd loaded all the other vehicles with barrels of fuel, just as Papagallo had planned. Uh-huh. And it's revealed that the narrator is none other than an aged feral kid.
That's a fucking awesome reveal as well. I became the leader.
Yeah. He says in time, he became the group's leader, the chief of the great northern tribe.
Amazing stuff.
And the road warrior, that was the last we ever saw of him. He lives now only in my memories.
It's fucking like amazing, like mythic stuff.
Oh, yeah. And we see a near exact reverse of the open.
Yes.
With Max standing next to the car.
He's got that rad car that Papagallo had been driving.
Yeah, nearly in silhouette as the smoke swirls around. And that, kids, is motherfucking Road Warrior.
It raises, the ending to me raises a million questions.
Ask a few of them.
I want to talk a few.
Yeah.
Like, what drives Max? What is he looking for?
So we were talking a little bit about that, and honestly, I don't know, because he's not looking to help people.
Right? Like, I feel like if all you want is solitude, like, you could just find yourself a nice spot and park your car.
It's almost like it's almost like penance, and I don't know necessarily for what, but it's like the loss of his wife and child.
We couldn't save his family.
Right. And so and that's the thing about penance, right? There is no rhyme or reason to it. You do it until you've accomplished what you feel like you need to accomplish to achieve forgiveness. You've paid your debt. Have I paid my dues? The check's in the mail.
The check is in the mail.
So I think that Max is paying, he's doing his penance
for maybe not being able to save his wife and child,
also perhaps for wanton murder that he doesn't feel great about.
Like, I feel like just driving and driving and driving in a world where it's nearly impossible to find gas doesn't make sense unless you're looking for something.
Let me hit you with this.
Tell me.
I also looked at it as, like, in the Bible, if you're into that sort of thing, Moses and the Israelites roaming the desert for 40 years to travel roughly, I don't know, a few hundred miles, but it took them 40 years to get to where they were going. It's like, it was right over there. Didn't need to be out here this long, you know? And so that's sort of this deal. It's like you were going through the trials that you needed to get through in order to pay your debt.
Like, for me, I would have thought that Max is sort of like looking for a community to join, but we see he had that opportunity and he passed. Like, he's like, nah, you guys keep going, whatever. I mean, obviously it's like the Western archetype, right? Like, he's just a wanderer. He can't be tied down.
He's a Ronin.
He's like, is he looking for people to save, like Batman?
No, because, like, he doesn't.
That's the thing, right? He's like, I feel like he's haunted by the fact that he couldn't save his family. But then when he gets the opportunity, he sort of seems reluctant to step in.
Or maybe he'll like do the right thing. But then as soon as it's done, it's like, all right, I need gas so I can leave. I got to go.
He doesn't want to form those connections, those bonds again, in case he's going to lose it all again.
Maybe. And this is something that I'm actually like sort of attuned to right now. It's like, maybe wandering has become Max's method of like mindfulness. Sort of like, okay. David Lynch is very into like doing the same thing over and over and over again as a practice. And so maybe wandering has become, in a very like weird Buddhist transcendental kind of way, Max is practicing meditation. Like,
it's
this
a
is
meditation,
his practice.
Just driving on the open
this
roads.
This is his practice, is just like existing and contemplating like his loss, who he is, what the world has become, and that's it. Because I mean, for a lot of people, that's sort of their life. Is like monks. That's,
I mean,
all they do is contemplate their existence.
I feel like I would be, if jobs and nothing mattered, I'd be a happy dude just cruising. Same, I want to drive like every road in the country.
Same.
But it's not like in the middle of where you have to kill people to get gasoline.
Right.
Or get killed.
Yeah.
I recently put on Fury Road, just pre-gaming for this. And in the little bit of commentary or voiceover off the top of that movie, Max is speaking, and he refers to himself as a road warrior searching for a righteous cause. And I'm like, okay, maybe it is like I've helped these people. Now I need to find the next group that I can help.
Sure.
Or something. So but I do feel like it's penance. Well, it's like a penance thing. That's a perfect analogy. I feel like he's trying to,
he's like a monk.
He's atoning for the sins of his past or his failures.
Mm-hmm.
I like that idea a lot.
It makes sense. It also makes it seem, because it like it doesn't have to be tied to any one sense of purpose. It can just be like, I'm just trying to do whatever, like whatever you could think of as being right in a situation like he's in, where the world is ended. Can you imagine that? Like, I mean, I can imagine it, I guess, but it's hard to like really get to the point to where it's like people are eating other people and like, you know, the world has well and truly gone insane.
George Miller said, like, he said as much, that he's heavily influenced by American Westerns and by samurai movies.
There you go.
For this. And it is like those themes, right? But then this movie of itself is so influential.
Mm-hmm.
It is just amazing the way movies work. Like James Cameron said, this movie inspired him to want to do Terminator.
Like, that's badass.
Just like the thought of like a society's collapsed or whatever. And what would it be like?
I guess we really didn't talk about this movie having a Western vibe, because I've been mostly thinking about it as being like the nascence of the action movie genre. But it does have, it has all the same formula elements of you know, Pale Rider and Kurosawa, Yojimbo, like all those things.
Oh, it's got the same formula. Like drawn into this situation that he didn't create. Sort of almost against his will, or he's reluctant to want to step in because he's whatever. But yeah, it's got all that shit. And I think of other movies that are whatever spinoffs are inspired by this. Waterworld, clearly.
Yeah.
There was like a really shitty Patrick Swayze movie called Steel Dawn. There's a bunch of,
I never saw that.
There was a bunch of post-apocalyptic movies that followed these.
Yeah. That was a big theme. The Postman. I had that book for a long time. I never read it. I gave it to Goodwill.
What about it inspired the wrestling tag team, the Road Warriors?
Yeah.
Those dudes, they were the big
Hawk
pad,
and Animal.
Road Warrior Hawk, Road Warrior Animal, the big pads with spikes and the mohawks.
What a rush.
Yeah, those dudes were fucking radical.
Yeah.
This movie was the most expensive Australian production ever at the time, with a budget of a whopping $3 million.
Shit.
That's amazing,
insane.
Isn't it? So the movie made $24 million in America. I couldn't find its like global gross, but obviously it did a killing based on a $3 million budget, you know? It made me want to visit Australia. Like, I can't even tell you.
Yeah,
I want to see those wide open spaces.
This and Crocodile Dundee make me want to go on a walkabout.
I love Crocodile Dundee.
Hell yeah.
I feel like, I don't know if people in Australia are like, I wonder how they feel about the Crocodile Dundee franchise.
They like, probably don't feel great about
it. Is it just stereotypical Australia?
Sure. Everyone's drinking like, Fosters and their crocodiles.
Everyone's like, on fucking doing mind melding with the wildebeests or whatever, the fucking water buffalo.
I feel like it made, he was making fun of it. Like, he was making fun of it because it wasn't like real.
That's true. He was playing a character for the benefit of the reporter.
Right.
Okay.
He was like, this is what he was basically saying. This is the character she thinks that I should be.
Yeah.
But
when he's like pretending to shave with his knife and stuff like that. He's like, got his watch on and he's like looking at the sun and guessing what time it is.
Yeah. It's like, we're not stupid dupes. Like,
we're not like backwoods hicks or whatever.
Exactly.
I dig that. This was voted the best action movie of all time in a 2015 Rolling Stone magazine poll. It's in my top five, I feel like. It's on my Mount Rushmore.
Yeah.
I think Aliens is my favorite action movie ever. Fucking love Aliens.
It's awesome.
Along with like Die Hard, Lethal Weapon, the first Terminator, I feel like I like maybe more than the second. It's got the originality.
I like the first one more than Terminator 2. Terminator 2 was like groundbreaking filmmaking.
I mean, Terminator 2 is technically obviously superior.
Yeah.
But I feel like it's almost the same plot as the first movie.
Yeah.
But with a better special effects.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Predator comes close also to cracking my top list. But
see,
I do feel
like
Road Warrior
is like for pure action. Yeah, the ones that you've named are like up there, but then it's like then I have like the guilty pleasures where I was like I want to put like Big Trouble in Little China up there, but it's like Bloodsport's up there, but it's like they're different kinds of movies. Yeah. They're also different kinds of movies. Like Big Trouble in Little China is like I obviously it's like action comedy, you know?
Uh huh. It is. Yeah, Big Trouble is amazing in its own way.
It is a cartoon.
We almost have to revisit it. I know Mike and I talked about it a long time ago, but
I would love to.
Opinions about that movie
I would love to go back and we could even just do like a 2-episode retrospective on that or something. Yeah. It'd be so much fun.
It's God damn, that movie's good.
Yeah.
But God bless John Carpenter. He's a saint.
He is. So is George Miller. This movie is amazing. It is in the pantheon of the great action movies, maybe the true birth
movie. It is the transitional period, I guess. If nothing else, it's the transition between the grindhouse to the mainstream action film.
And I think probably a lot of people saw it and were like, shit, if we can do that with that kind of success with a $3 million budget...
Imagine if we put 10 million
or 50
or 15 like and work our way up from there. Yeah, it's incredible. The influence of this movie is still being felt
big time.
I mean, Fury Road's incredible, but it's basically a rehash of this movie.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it is.
It's the same.
It is.
And
same
I
premise.
Can't wait for more from the Mad Max universe from George Miller, which apparently he's working on the Furiosa prequel.
God,
and
yes.
Another Charlize, Mad Max movie.
Charlize was so fucking awesome.
Yeah, she was. Yeah, she was the star of that movie.
I think she was as good as I've ever seen her in anything, probably. But
yeah.
I like the turn she's taken in action movies lately. She's a badass.
She's a fucking ass kicker, man. Yeah. She can kick my ass anytime.
Well, you know, a while back she was looking for a guy. She might still be. Who knows?
She might be. I should try to DM her. Slide.
You
right
should.
In.
You should. You should hit her up on
see
the Twitter machine.
See if she wants
machine.
To come on the pod.
That would be awesome.
Charlize.
She would get crunk with us. She would drink some.
What do you think she drinks?
Beer.
She's a beer drinker?
Probably.
I love that shit.
Probably. I would think so.
I'm into it.
We'll find out.
South African. I don't know what their official like.
I'm sure she drinks
is.
Beer and wine. I think I've read both of those things are true.
That's also true.
That's also true.
I'm going to check her out. I'm going to go Google her after we're done here. What does Charlize drink? God damn it. That is a woman right there.
She is. She is.
She's a whole lot of woman.
Well, I think we've veered slightly.
We veered the tanker slightly
off the road. Anyway, friends, that was the Road Warrior.
God damn it. I'm going to watch it again right now, I promise.
You should. I'm going to drive home.
Okay.
In a car.
Enough.
Fast as I can.
Fast as hell.
All right, you guys, thanks for hanging with us. We hope you enjoyed this. We'll be back with something fun next week with an all-new series. Be sure to check out all our friends in the Last of the Action Heroes Network, and
we'll be back.